5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Another candidate interview today, Alex Skarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
So, six weeks. We're getting pretty close to Election Day. Ballots go out in a while. People start looking at races a lot more. How do you think things are looking in your race right now?
It's going to be very, very close. I mean, we're excited. I think we're about tied right now, so it's really going to come down to the wire. But we've been doing everything we can. I've been knocking on doors just about every weekend, just trying to get people to our side.
And do people find it surprising that somebody running for Congress is knocking at the door?
Most of them do, yeah. It's not really a thing that people do anymore, especially with, you know, social media and all the money that's spent on TV. But in a close race like this, I mean, I still think it can make an impact. And we have volunteers knocking on doors constantly as well, too. And like I said, it's really going to come down to the wire. So we need all the help we can get.
So there were some changes in the district boundary a couple of years ago. Yeah, redistricting.
Yes.
There we go. That's the word I was looking for. Census. That was the other word. So that changed the district a bit, changed the boundaries around. Yet at the same time, there's some expected GOP gains nationally in a lot of different places. So it's kind of a up and down. How do you think your chances are?
Well, I think our chances are great. I mean, with redistricting, the Democrats, to be honest, gerrymandered all three districts to just barely lean Democrat so that they could hold on to all of them instead of giving the Republicans another seat. However, in this kind of a year, that could backfire on them because DeFazio is retiring in this district. This district is considered a D+4. Kurt Schrader lost his primary in the 5th district. That's only a D+1. And the new district, the 6th, is also a D+4, and that's open, of course, since it's brand new. So that's three open seats that just barely lean Democrat in this kind of a year. We should be able to flip all three, and it's going to be very, very close.
If somebody is beginning to evaluate this race, what do you feel like the top abilities you have and your qualities that you bring to the table?
Well, I think I bring a pretty wide range of experience. I mean, from being a veteran, small business owner, to all the things that everyone knows me for, of course, like stopping the terrorist attack and doing a movie. But I would say that my biggest strength is that I am a political outsider. I don't owe anyone anything if we're elected. I'm only running because there's a lot of issues facing the 4th Congressional District, namely that we're the poorest congressional district in the state. And that's going to be my main priority, is turning that around, in addition to stopping the runaway inflation and gas prices that we're all seeing.
So what are some of the other key issues that you're focused on, things that you're really emphasizing?
I mean, like I said, inflation, that's a big one for everyone across the country. Same thing with gas prices. Beyond that, here in the 4th Congressional District, our overall economic health when it relates to the timber industry and the fishing industry. This district now runs from Lincoln City to the California border, so the coast is a huge priority for me as well. Of course, healthcare costs and healthcare access here in the district is a huge issue as well. Since we are, again, the poorest congressional district in the state, we cannot afford the massive healthcare cost increases and, of course, the inflation.
So as you are talking to people knocking on doors out at events and things, what are you hearing from residents in terms of their biggest concerns?
I mean, everyone's biggest concern is the economy. I mean, a lot of people are concerned with the abortion issue, for instance, with the Dobbs decision. But that's now a state issue. I know I'm getting beat up on the TV from Val running ads saying that I believe all these things about abortion that I don't believe. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a state decision and not even in Congress's hands. And if Congress was to decide anything on it, it would just get thrown out by the Supreme Court, since they literally just ruled that it was a state issue.
And are you seeing people a little more fearful just given inflation right now?
I mean, I wouldn't say fearful, at least not yet. I just think everyone agrees that our country is not headed in the right direction. I mean, between inflation, interest rates, I mean, think about if you're trying to buy a house right now. I mean, not only are you having to work 1 month out of the year for free just to pay for the added increases in inflation at 8.3%, but then it's hard to save money because the money you save is getting eaten up by inflation while it's sitting in your bank account. And then if you want to go get a loan to buy a house, I mean, you're going to be paying 7% interest, which is a huge amount of money over the lifetime of the loan.
Well, and I know as I talk to real estate folks, it has changed the playing field for some people in terms of, if 6 months ago they could afford a $400,000 house, now they can afford, you know, one that's $350,000 or whatever, just given the interest rate.
Absolutely, and that's only getting worse, of course. I mean, I'm honestly surprised that the housing market is doing as well as it even is now, and I don't expect it to be totally honest, especially with the direction that the stock market is heading. I mean, we're living in a very concerning time, and I think we just need some balance in this state.
In the last 2 years, coming through the pandemic, a lot of federal spending. What are your concerns about all the money that's gone out the door from the federal level?
I'm very concerned about it. I mean, that's exactly why we're seeing this massive inflation that we're seeing now. I mean, my generation is the millennial generation is going to have to be the one that pays down our national debt, or something terrible is going to happen. I mean, $30 trillion in debt is not sustainable whatsoever, and we are adding to it, Republicans as well, but Democrats especially, are adding to it at an astronomical rate that is not sustainable.
If you look at the federal budget and you get into Congress, what are some of the priorities? I mean, you're going to be one of 535, but you know, if you get a chance for input, what are some things you'd like to see shifted?
Well, I'd like to see a lot of things brought down to the local level when it comes to how our government is run. I mean, for instance, our forests are controlled almost exclusively by the federal government from one of three departments. But I would love to see that brought down to the local level again. No one knows how to manage our forests better than we do. A congressman or senator from the East Coast has no idea our needs for our forest management priorities or anything along those lines. So I would like to see local control brought back. And when it comes to cutting the budget, I mean, I would like to see cuts across the board. I mean, our government is by and large way too big and we spend way too much money.
You know, people over the course of time, we've seen budgets, the inflation go up and down cycles in the economy. Right now, we're seeing much what it was like at points in the 70s. And the federal budget has gone up and come down a bit at different times. Do you look down to the long term and wonder if we are ever going to get back to a balanced federal budget?
To be honest, I really don't think so. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say. I mean, I would love to see it, but I really just don't see that happening with the amount of money that we're spending right now. I mean, even if we could bring it down to adding less than $1 trillion to the debt a year, that would be a huge win, and that's still not sustainable. I unfortunately don't think we're ever going to get to that point until we're absolutely forced to.
If you're elected and you get into D.C., what kinds of things would you like to do in the first month?
Well, the first month, my priorities would be getting on my committees like natural resources or agriculture, because those are the two that affect the district the most. And that, again, the district is my priority. Beyond that, getting good constituent service set up so that anyone that needs help from myself or my staff can get it. I think one thing that Peter DeFazio did well was he had great constituent service, and that's a legacy that I would absolutely try to continue.
It's interesting. Sometimes if people don't need that help, they don't think about the fact that congressional staff are involved in things like directly talking to constituents about, hey, I'm having problems getting, you know, my Social Security check or this that was supposed to come back. It's all, you know, it comes right down to a lot, sometimes smaller tasks that are very important for the person needing the help.
Well, and absolutely. And of course, dealing with government bureaucracy is never easy. I mean, especially with, like, you know, veterans dealing with the VA, for instance. I'm going to have a team of people at my office if I win that are going to exclusively handle constituent service for the people in the district.
As you are running for Congress, I know that you are getting support from folks in other places. What are you seeing? Have you had a chance to talk to the other Republican candidates for Congress in Oregon?
Yeah, we've done a couple events with Lori Chavez de Reamer running in the 5th District. I think she's a great candidate. She's running against Jim McLeod Skinner, who beat Kurt Schrader in the primary. And I think she's a fantastic candidate. I've done a couple things with Christine Drazen, not a lot with Mike Erickson, who's running in the 6th District. But, I mean, I think we have a very good potential for a sweep across the board with all three of these congressional districts and the governor's race. It's going to be very tight, but it's going to be very, very interesting.
Do you see on a national level, what are your thoughts? At points, The Republicans have been especially positive about picking up a lot of seats, and then some weeks they pull back from that. It seems like expectations are going back and forth.
Well, it just depends. What a lot of people follow is something called the generic ballot, which is, you know, the basically the approval rating of the two parties. Do you lean Republican or do you lean Democrat in this kind of year? The Republicans have traditionally been in the lead this year, just due to all the things that have been going on nationally. But of course, it is tightening. And I think I'm not sure how many seats we're going to pick up this year, probably 15 to 25, somewhere in that range. But I'm mostly concerned with how many seats we pick up here in Oregon. And I think hopefully we can at least win two of the three competitive seats, hopefully all three.
All right, back with more. Alex Skarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas Caddy, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4. Tomorrow, Sarah McGregor from Feeding Umpqua will talk about a number of things going on with that organization, part of the United Community Action Network. They've got their Empty Bowls event on Monday and other things happening as well. Republican candidate for Congress, Alex Skarlatos, in with us now, 6 weeks from Election Day. Does it feel that close?
Yes and no. I mean, it feels like we're running out of time, but it also feels very far away because now we're doing so much with our days that 6 weeks is a lot of time, but it's rapidly approaching.
If you look at the district, how do you feel like, as you talk to business people, how they're doing right now coming in this phase, sort of out of the pandemic, but yet with a lot of other challenges at the same time?
Well, I mean, that's the problem, is there's a lot of pent up demand, but, you know, due to the supply chain crisis that we're still facing, it's just tough for people to get goods. So the economy cannot really reach its full potential. And then you have, again, inflation and the stock market crashing and interest rates going up that are really heating our progress.
And what's the biggest concern you've heard from business people?
Really just red tape, I would say. I mean, people are still concerned with, you know, coming out of the COVID lockdowns and everything like that. They're concerned about government overreach. They're concerned about how much they're paying in taxes. They're concerned about, you know, really their future as a business when the economy is going downhill and we're really in a recession. People are just concerned about making it to the end of the month. And I sympathize with them because, again, this is not an easy time to be running a business.
What do you think the federal role should be in helping business have an easier time of it?
Well, I think the federal government should stop spending so much money. I mean, inflation's hurting everyone, including business owners. The interest rate's hurting everyone, and the interest rate is only up because they're trying to combat the runaway inflation. This is a situation where the government creates a problem and then tries to sell you on the solution. And that's something that's done time and time again, and we got to stop falling for it.
For businesses, what about regulatory aspects from the federal government? What are your thoughts about all the regulations imposed on business?
Well, I think there's a lot of regulations imposed by the federal government, but unfortunately here in Oregon, the state level regulations seem to be the most restrictive, and there's not a whole lot I can do on that. But federally, I would like to make it easier for someone to open a small business.
As you look around the district, you talked about the boundary changes. I mean, it's hard to believe that Lincoln City is now part of this district, just the way that things shifted around. The district's got some very progressive areas, some very conservative areas. The biggest chunk of folks really around Eugene, which is generally fairly progressive. How do you feel like you're doing there?
We're doing maybe not well in Eugene or Corvallis, but we're doing pretty well in the outskirts, like, you know, Springfield. I think we're making a concerted effort to flip this year. They just elected a Republican or conservative county commissioner, David Lovell. So I think we should be able to flip a lot of those areas, you know, Cresswell, Cottage Grove, even Lincoln County as a whole, we're looking at trying to flip as well. You know, down here is pretty conservative, but they also cut off the southern half of Douglas County just south of Winston and gave it to the second congressional district. They tried to get rid of some of the more conservative areas of the district to make this a Democrat-leaning seat. But fortunately, Coos Curry and Douglas County are still going to be there for us, and we just got to move the needle in the rural parts of the northern areas of the district.
A lot of veterans have been expressing concerns about changes on what's being offered at the Roseburg VA. In fact, I've had a lot of people contacting me. What are your thoughts about the Veterans Administration overall, how they're running, and particularly this facility here in Roseburg, you know, that's been around for a long time?
Well, there's been a lot of VA reforms recently, but unfortunately, it's just not quite good enough. I mean, I would love to see some alternatives to the VA so veterans aren't forced to wait on VA exclusive health care. I know they've made some inroads there, but I'd like to see a voucher system absolutely for veterans so that they don't have to use the VA system. If the VA system wants to continue to exist, they need to improve so that veterans can actually get the care that they deserve.
Now, here in Roseburg, I'm told that some of the services are diminishing and folks are being sent north. And for especially some of the older veterans going back to World War II or even Vietnam in some cases, just the aspect of a trip to Eugene versus being able to get that health care in Roseburg, especially if a lot of times it's multiple trips, seems to really be a concern.
Well, absolutely. And that's something that we need to solve. I mean, I would love to see kind of bringing back a busing program or some form of transportation, because even for veterans on the coast to get to Roseburg, I mean, that's still a trip as well. But again, I would love to see us keep as many services here in Roseburg as possible.
Talk about the part of being a veteran and having veterans in so many age groups going way back to your era. What do you see? I mean, there's obviously a lot of similarities. What are some of the differences, though, and the help that's needed?
Well, you know, especially for my age group of veterans, mental health is a huge issue. Veteran suicides are at an all-time high. Veteran homelessness is incredibly high. And significantly, veterans in Congress is at one of its all-time lows. And I think that's a huge problem. And I think having more veterans in Congress would bring more attention to this issue because veterans in this day and age are not doing well. I mean, again, even my age group, you know, we've got the burn pit cancers from lung cancer that's very prevalent. We need to work on solving that. But the biggest thing, I think, is mental health and dealing with PTSD.
What are your thoughts about the current administration just in terms of military policy?
Don't get me started on that. I mean, I was deployed in Afghanistan for 9 months. Seeing how we left that country, I mean, 13 Americans got killed in the last week of the conflict for basically, unfortunately, no reason. I mean, they were killed in the largest ground attack in the entire global war on terror's history. 13 Americans got killed in the last week. It was absolutely preventable. And the most disgusting thing about it is all those same generals and chiefs of staff are all still there in power today. No one resigned. No one was fired. And we have those same officials now in charge of our military, dealing with the Russia-Ukraine situation, and God forbid, China and Taiwan. I mean, it gives me very little confidence in our foreign policy or how we're going to handle some of these conflicts in the future.
About a minute left. Talk about, you mentioned being out there knocking on doors. What about other events or appearances you've got coming up?
We got a lot of interviews coming up. We're trying to slow down on the events and focus more on actual voter outreach, like knocking on doors. So I just got a lot of events coming up, a lot of interviews coming up this week. And beyond that, I'll be up knocking doors in the Eugene Springfield area, Roseburg area, Coos Bay area, Lincoln County area. So we're going to be all over the district, a lot of travel. I'm just trying to get as many undecided voters to our side as possible and make sure good Republicans turn in their ballots.
And if people want to find out more about your thoughts, talk about your website and how to get connected there.
Yeah, the website is alekfororegon.com, alekfororegon.com. You can donate, volunteer, send us an email, and you can do all the same through our Facebook. But thank you.
Alex Scarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress. Thanks for being on. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.